Conversations with Kate is like a conversation with your friend, hairstylist, or therapist, where we will talk about music, life, stories, and everything in between, with interviews and guests sprinkled in. I am your host, Kate. Let's get into this episode. All right, welcome into this episode, The Power of Presence, Leading Faith in a Small Town. I have guest Toby Teague. Welcome in, Toby.
Thanks, Kate.
So glad that you're here. So I want to start talking about your origin story. So where did the title pastor come into your life? Like, at what juncture? Was it when you were younger, teen, adult?
When I was 16, I officially, like, gave my heart to God.
Okay.
That would be a podcast on its own.
Okay.
But a few months after that, I just felt a call.
Okay.
That maybe this is what I was supposed to do with my life.
Okay.
And then my pastor and mom teamed up. We went to summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so they entered me in the preaching contest.
Okay.
But didn't tell me.
Oh, that's fun.
Until the after. And he's like, hey, you're going to preach. And I went to my mom. He wants me to preach it. I'm not going to preach because I didn't talk. Like, I didn't talk at the table.
Oh.
I didn't talk in class. I was the kid who hid.
Right.
I was very quiet.
Okay.
I had a lot of, I was born with a cleft palate.
Okay.
So always had a lisp my entire life.
Okay. Can't tell.
That's because of the plate.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And they fixed it.
Okay.
When I got older.
Okay.
And so nothing to do with it. And then I went, won first place. You know, and when I spoke at my church for the first time, they were all like, who is this kid? It just a little bit after that, I just felt like that's what I was supposed to do.
Okay. Okay. What is it like in your life on a day-to-day basis? So a little bit of background. Toby is the pastor in the town that I live in. Run me just really quickly through one of your days.
Okay. Well, I get up and as you know, I do the crossing guard.
Yes.
For the city. So I get up, do that, stand on the corner and have conversations with kids as they go to school.
Okay.
Parents yell out
windows.
And
they all love you.
Parents yell out windows at me and everything else. And then on a normal day, it's just checking on people.
Okay.
I'll go to lunches at one of the schools usually and hang out, help take out trash.
Okay.
Wipe tables.
Yeah.
And then we run a youth garage.
Yes.
For a couple of hours in the afternoon. And then in the evenings, it's starting to think through what's coming on Sunday.
Okay.
What I need to do. This last year, I spent a lot of time writing a 40-day devotional.
Oh, cool.
For our church. And it changes day to day. Some days there's funerals.
Yeah.
And some days I'm getting a call from the school because something went on.
And you got to go in and counsel.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And just be there with the kids and the teachers. And and it's people call out of the blue.
Yeah.
To talk about things and try to figure things out.
Okay.
And I'm fortunate. I don't have to spend a lot of time every week putting together the talk for Sunday.
Okay.
Those come
How
pretty
so?
Quick. They, I don't know.
It
I
just comes to
yeah,
you?
Yeah. It just, and we try to be pretty basic and oriented towards life.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're crazy at times. I mean,
yeah.
I do a thing called Gospel FM.
What's that?
We take a song off the radio, play it in church, and then talk about it.
Oh, I like that.
And how God relates to it. We've done over like 48 songs.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean,
I
we
love
played
that.
Hell's Bells in church.
Ooh.
And I love this bar.
Oh, my God. That's wonderful.
Who are you?
Okay.
You know, it's just.
And how was that received by the congregation?
They love it.
That's so.
They've started. Now they send me songs.
Oh, that they would want you to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Do you have, aside from Sundays, do you have a favorite day of the week as far as your routine is concerned?
Every day.
Okay. I like that.
I don't. I like my job.
Okay.
I know a lot of you know, like they say 65% of pastors want to leave.
Yeah.
And not be pastor anymore. And I've never felt that way.
That's wonderful to hear. That is wonderful to hear. So
but
who
I spend a lot of time with kids, so it may be that.
I mean, they are pretty cool. I'm not
going to pain.
See, the funny thing is that, well, you know, Autumn is going to be, they offered her a parapro position
right.
for Leslie. So she will be there
And she is all for the elementary specific age.
Yep.
And I am like, when I retire from hair at 62, I'm in college level. I want to be with the adults. I want to be with the technically like baby adults from 18 plus,
right?
But still adults to teach them. But kids, however, like a lot of the people that we've had the blessing to like have as a part of our day-to-day lives in the salon, it's so great to see life through their lens. Mm-hmm. And even when it's like the struggles that some of the like preteens and teens deal with and stuff like that. My next question for you is, who is Toby beyond the title of pastor?
The quiet kid.
Okay.
That sits back and I like to read a room.
Okay.
I love nothing more than just listening.
Okay.
To other people and then asking them questions and trying to figure out how did they get where they are.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
I'm an avid sports fan.
Okay.
I mean, I get.
Who's your favorite basketball team?
Favorite basketball team? They just lost.
Uh-oh.
Spurs.
Oh, no. But
that was since I was 11,
okay.
Living, growing up in Texas.
Okay,
George Gervin. Michigan people cannot hate me. He's from Eastern Michigan University.
Okay.
Grew up
in
Detroit.
Is that one of the players or is it the coach?
A long time ago.
Okay.
No, he was back when I was a kid, he played.
Okay.
I have an autographed poster from him.
See, I'm a Celtics fan, but that's because I was born in Hyannis, Massachusetts.
Right.
So that's I'm not a fair weather fan.
I won't hold it against you.
All the New England teams, those are my teams, and right. No matter what, like Autumn has her favorites as well.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite baseball team?
The Rangers.
Okay.
Ever since they started.
We
lived about 10 miles from the stadium.
That's
at one
neat.
Point.
Okay.
So, but I didn't go see a game until I was 27.
What? Why?
My parents didn't like sports.
Oh, okay. What were your parents into?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Working.
Okay, fair enough.
Working and making sure we worked.
Yes, fair enough. So talk about your life before Michigan.
Grew up in Texas.
Okay.
Fort Worth and Lubbock.
Okay.
So big city and then sort of a big city.
Yeah.
But like honest Texas.
Okay.
It's not like, I know it's always called Fort Worth, Dallas.
Yes.
Or Dallas, Fort Worth.
Yeah.
Completely two opposite cities.
Right.
Nothing alike.
Dallas and Fort Worth?
Yeah.
I agree.
Nothing alike.
Because I've been to Dallas and Fort Worth, yes. And they are completely different.
Right.
They are. Yes.
Fort Worth was Cowboys. I can remember as a kid, you could tell when the cattle were coming in downtown to the Stockbridge,
mm-hmm.
to the stockyards because it stunk.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
You could smell was cows. You know, then moved to West Texas, and it was cotton and cows.
Wow.
And so...
And that's when you lived in Lubbock?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Moved there in fifth grade.
Okay.
Left there in 85.
What brought you to the tiny little town of Leslie?
We worked at a church in Fort Worth
mm-hmm.
after I got out of school, and it was about to go through a church thing.
A church fight.
Oh,
gotcha.
A church fight, because... One of the guys
instead of it's about to be a girlfriend,
like
it's about to
pastor.
Be a church fight?
Yes.
All right.
It happens more than it should.
Really?
And so I was just like, I was praying to God and I was like, you got to get me out of here because I think they both should be fired and just let me have the church.
Right.
But I didn't know how to
and
say
it was
that
in
out loud.
It was in your church? There was two people
I was
that were...
a member. Yep, it was the pastor and mm-hmm. then the dude who led music.
Okay.
Who and had only been there like 4 months.
Oh.
But I could see it coming.
Yeah.
He was like... He tried to work his ways with me, and I told him I would throw him out my office window. So
you're so real, Toby. Well,
I did.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
And so my wife grew up in Leslie.
Okay.
She was an Isham.
Oh, yes. Up. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
And so her mom called one Sunday afternoon
mm-hmm.
after it was like a tense thing at church. And she's like, hey, this pastor's leaving. Toby should send his resume up. To which Shelley laughed because Shelley got out of Leslie and said she'd never be back.
Oh.
And so I was like, well.
Why not?
Let's do it. And so.
And the Ishams are great people.
Yeah. 3 months later.
Yeah.
We were moving.
Wow.
Moving up here to a church of 21 people.
Wow. What's the attendance now?
140.
Whoa. Okay. All right.
You know, Easter is always, like this last Easter was 275 people.
Wow. you can fit that many people in the church?
No, we had to have two services.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was
don't
like,
tell the fire marshal.
I won't. Shh, it's our secret.
Yeah.
You are not listening.
Right. Well, they already know.
Yeah. I mean, fair. We know them.
I'm friends with all.
Yeah, exactly. Same, same.
And they come to the church.
One of their wives and then one of the younger firefighter, the redhead. What's his name?
Oh, Dakota?
Yes, Dakota. Yeah.
Yeah. He would never. I baptized him.
Did you really?
So, yeah. So he
was. He's such a good kid.
Yeah.
He's such a good kid.
I didn't say that though, Dakota. She said it.
What makes leading in a small town different than from like the church in Texas?
For one, I can get involved in the community more here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's always been my great, like I went over to Charlotte the other day to do a funeral.
Yeah.
And I pulling into town, I thought, okay, could I pastor a church in Charlotte
mm-hmm.
like I do in Leslie? You know, or what yeah. about East Lansing?
Right.
Or Lansing.
Yes.
And I think it would be harder to get, I don't think it would be as hard to get involved. You just get involved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I can walk into any of our schools
mm-hmm.
and go to lunch.
Yes.
I mean, they call me when something happens.
Yes.
But that all started because I went to lunch and wiped tables.
Okay.
And emptied trash.
That's great.
And our church serves the town. I mean,
yeah.
The last 16 years, our church has put over $300,000 into the town.
I love that.
You know,
that's how it should be.
Right.
Really and truthfully, honestly. Yep. Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And so I think it would be harder to have like can I use the word intimate?
Yes.
As intimate an impact?
Yes.
In a bigger town?
Yeah.
But I think that you could.
Yes.
If you truly wanted to, you know, like I would like to figure out with these big name boys, you know, what do they say about you in your town?
Right.
You know,
honestly, coming from a larger city salon to the smaller town, I have to agree with you on some level with that because this December will be 8 years, I think, that I've been at the spa, and it's a completely different ball game. There is so much more connection with the community members. And not that there's not a connection
right.
in the larger cities, but in a smaller community, it's completely different because I see, you know, not only, well, officially now I'm just, you know, Miss Autumn's mom.
Right.
But also, you know, I've gone through several life events with multiple people. I, you know, don't necessarily do everybody's hair, but sometimes I do just their kids' hair, and I've seen them through elementary, middle, and high school, and now they're married and have kids and that kind of thing. And it's just it's a more, like you said, it's a more intimate type of relationship mm-hmm. with the community, whereas in the bigger cities, you know.
Yeah, and you would have to have, like, the big, big church there
yes.
to get anybody to pay attention to you.
Yes, I agree. What does the human side of being a pastor mean to you?
To me, it's being there for people
okay.
more than anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, when I went to seminary, we went through the 4 years mm-hmm. and they didn't like me.
Why?
Because I am who I am.
Okay.
And I didn't play their games.
Oh, okay.
And so I would ask.
So there's
hard
corporate
questions.
America in yes. in that realm too. Okay.
Yeah. I would ask questions. They didn't. I was told not to ask questions in class.
Oh. Okay. Yep.
You know, because I would ask. I wanted to know.
Yeah.
I was like, if I'm gonna do this for a living, I wanna know the truth.
Yes.
And so when I do it now,
mm-hmm.
the biggest compliment I ever get
mm-hmm.
is whether, you know, there's a guy that I've been talking to at Crossroads for a long time
yeah.
about coming to church.
Yes.
And, you know, we would sit and have a beer mm-hmm. and talk about church, talk about God.
Yes.
And so when he finally came mm-hmm. to the church and visited, when he was leaving, he looked at me, he goes, you know what, Toby? He goes, you're the same here as you are at Crossroads.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just be who you are.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not smart enough to have all these hats. So
you just are who you are yes. no matter what, no yeah, matter where you're at.
If you like me, you like me. If you don't, well, I'm what's not going to lose any sleep.
I don't think
it.
I've ever heard anybody say a crossword about you. You know, I know we are all human, but right. That with that being said, how do you handle the pressure, expectations, or emotional weight of being in the position that you're in?
I remember that it's nothing compared to what Christ carried for me.
That's awesome. What a great way to say that. That is absolutely the truth, too.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he did nothing and took all my sin.
That's correct. That you is know? Correct.
So, and if it was, and this is going to sound completely awful, and this is why they didn't like me in seminary.
Oh, I want to hear.
If it's too much, go sell cars.
Ooh. I like that. It's the truth, though.
I know.
It is. It is a 10 out of 10, the truth.
I know, but I sound like a jerk when I say it.
No, I think that that brings a lot of reality to things that people just don't want to, the truth that people don't want to face when it comes to something like that. What, tell me one story, and then I'm going to ask you a couple of closing questions. Tell me one story of impact that stands out above all of the others, just one.
Okay. It'll be quick. I'll tie two together.
Okay.
Because I was asked a while ago at the school, they had professional days.
Yes.
And so the kids asked me, what was your best day and worst day?
Okay.
And so I said, okay, I'll tell you. I said, my best day is always when I did a wedding for two kids I coached basketball for. And I did their wedding, and to be able to stand up and help them begin their married life together, and they both coached with me at times, and we talked for those 2 years, and they would just talk about their relationship.
Yes.
So to get it to watch it to grow, and then to be able to help them, you know,
that's
make
huge.
It official that day.
Yeah.
You know, and to see them now raising their two kids, and it's just going crazy. And,
isn't that lovely?
Yeah. Yeah, and they're just going awesome. So those are my best days.
Okay.
Worst day was I got a phone call one night from a close friend who said, you have to go find my daughter.
Oh.
Her dad just died in a wreck. Mm. And they were up north, and she was down, and it was her 21st birthday.
Oh. So you had to go find her.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm trying. I call her. She's not answering. She's out with her friends.
Of course. 21st birthday.
Yeah.
Three sheets to the wind.
Yep. And so the mom called back and said, okay, she's at Crossroads.
Okay.
And so I remember walking down to Crossroads and walking in looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking and thinking, why do I have to do this?
Mm.
And then I thought, nobody else here. I was around. None of these guys are going to do it.
Yeah.
And so found her and asked her, I say, hey, will you come outside with me? And I told her, and I remember her screaming.
Yeah.
And just holding her.
Yep.
You know, and then walking back through with her to the bar to get her to her friends so that we could go and get her up to her mom.
Yeah.
And somebody wanted to fight me. Looking at me because she comes in just crying
thinking, thinking it was your fault. Yeah,
want to fight me. And I just looked at him and I said, I would sit down if I were you.
Yeah, please.
I said, you're going to regret standing up.
Right
just
now.
Just because of what happened, but because I'm ready to kill you.
Yes.
You know, so, but then to do that and then, you know, to do to bury my friend.
Yeah.
You know, but then 8 years later to be able to do her wedding.
That's so wonderful.
You know, and from then on, from her to look at me, and she would call when she had a dad question.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
You know, so.
Yeah. And when you make those types of connections with people, that is unbreakable. And that is, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That is what matters. That is what matters. All right. So next question. What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
I think it's from a guy named John Maxwell.
Okay.
And it was in a book, and I got to meet him later, but he just said to simply walk slowly through the crowd.
Ooh, that's very good.
Yeah. And so I've just made that my pattern of the way that I minister, the way that I live, you know. And we have a P.O. box on purpose so that we walk through downtown to go get the mail. I, you know, I do a thing where I'll walk to the American Legion then back to Crossroads, then to Boss, then to my house, just to see people.
Yes.
But it's to walk slowly, you know. Yeah. We'll meet people, and we met some people at Boss.
Okay.
Cider. And
okay.
They were laughing because it took me 10 minutes from when I walked in to get to the table where they were sitting.
Yes.
Because I stopped and talked to people.
Yes.
You know, and so you walk slowly. Walk slowly through the crowd. If not, you'll never get to know anyone.
That's great. I love that one. What's the worst advice you've ever had? Been given, rather.
4 years of college. Pick a class.
So the whole 4 years of college?
I had two professors that believed in me.
Wow.
And the rest, I said, told me to be quiet. Not to ask questions.
And were you just going for your general?
No, that was to be a pastor.
That
was
pastor.
In seminary.
Seminary school.
Yep.
Okay, so if you could become a pastor without seminary school, would you have done that? Can you become a pastor
without? Yes, you
can. Okay.
All you gotta do is find a church gullible.
Okay. Is it illegal? Or
no.
Okay.
Nope,
okay.
Nope, anyone can be a pastor.
Okay.
And so it's but I wouldn't trade that 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because it taught me to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, and to not worry about, you know, because there are people that have left our church because they don't, you know, I said something to upset them or something happened. Mm-hmm. So if I would have given up in seminary, then I would have quit.
Right.
You know, they called me, I graduated, and they called me 4 months after I graduated.
Okay.
And they were doing a brochure. Mm-hmm. So I ended up being senior class president. And
look
the only reason
you.
I did it is to make them mad. And so.
That's great.
So they call me and the guy's saying, you know, we're doing this pamphlet. We'd like to have a quote from, you know, a recent senior class president.
Okay.
All right. And he goes, well, what would your quote be? And I was like, well, I said, I was reading in Christianity Today that you only use 13% of what you learn in seminary in the actual ministry.
Wow.
And he goes, well, I don't agree with that, Toby. And I said, oh, yeah, I don't either. And he goes, why we didn't think you would? I said, yeah, because I'm having a hell of a time finding that 13%. You know, and so he goes, so I said, so I guess you can put that in your paper. And then I just hung up.
That's great.
I mean, I've never gone back.
Yeah.
To a graduation?
No. Does anyone from that seminary school or that period of your life contact you ever?
I have a couple of friends that we went to school together, a couple I helped graduate.
Okay.
You know.
And that was in Texas, correct?
Nope, that was in L.A.
Oh. Yeah, oh, okay.
I left Lubbock in 85, moved to Los Angeles to go to school.
Okay.
And that's where I met Shelley.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, wait, was she at the same school?
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Was it love at first sight?
For her, it was.
Oh, it was not for you. Does she know this? She knows this, obviously.
Yeah.
You guys
no, it's
for...
a whole long, that's a it's, whole another podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you that story when we're up the air.
Yeah. Okay. The last question is, if you could do anything other than what you currently do with your life, where money was no object, responsibility was no object, what would that be and why?
I think I would maybe teach in a seminary.
Okay.
So that I can mess up more churches.
I love that.
But
I love that.
I think besides that, besides the faith bent on it, I would think it would be to just help other people.
Okay.
To do
some sort of community service,
to go find people that needed help, things like that. But most of all, to still walk slowly through the crowd.
I love that. I'm going to use that from now on. Thank you so much, Toby, for hanging out with me today.
Sure. Well, I appreciate it.
All right. And if there's anybody listening to the podcast that wants to come and hear you and hear a service, go ahead and let us know how they can do that. Where can they find out information?
Yep, we have a website, LeslieFirst.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then we're on Facebook, Leslie First Baptist Church.
Okay.
YouTube, we have a YouTube channel, which is completely awkward to me. But we did it right before pandemic.
Okay.
And so it sort of worked out.
Oh, perfect.
And I did it as a joke.
Okay.
To show people that no one would watch. And so we just did a Mother's Day service.
Okay.
That got 3,000 views.
That's so cool.
In a town of 2,000.
That's really cool.
You know.
Are you kidding me? Congratulations.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. Again, thank you so much, Toby.
Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Conversations with Kate.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conversations with Kate. You can find more information on LCC Connect site, as well as all social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, yes, TikTok as well. Big love.